All that has gone before, certainly it is a blessing to turn aside from the cares of this life and to assemble for a little while in the house of God and to hear and sing of the wondrous truths that we believe. And certainly it's been a blessing to me this morning. I trust it has been to you as well. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I'd like to notice with you what the Apostle Paul writes at the end of this book, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we'll start in verse 14. He says, "Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such." At the end of this book, where Apostle Paul addresses a lot of issues going on at the church at Corinth, he tells them to let all your things be done with charity. You know, I believe that sometimes we have to do things that are unpleasant. Sometimes we have to do things that we don't like to do, but or even the things we want to do. Whatever we do, we should do it with love, love in action. That's what charity means, love in action. And whether we're speaking the truth, we should speak it in love. Whether we're doing some type of correction, we should do it in love. But then he begins to say, "I beseech you, brethren." And then there's a parenthetical expression here that kind of goes in between what he says he's beseeching them about in verse 16, where he explains some things. Notice what he says here in this parenthesis. "Ye know the house of Stephanas." Now, I honestly can't tell you that I know them this morning. I don't know exactly who they were, except if you go back to the first chapter of this book, he talks about the Apostle Paul actually baptized Stephanas and his household. They were one of the few in the church that the Apostle Paul himself baptized. But he says, "You know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits." They were one of the first families in the church in Corinth. Achaia is a geographical area where the city of Corinth was. And so they were one of the first members of the church there. And this is what he says about them. And this is the part we'd like to focus in on for a few moments this morning. He says that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Now, some people have a natural tendency towards addiction, obsession. They get obsessed with something and it consumes their way of thinking. Those of you who have been talking to our little boy, there's a movie called Up that he's obsessed about. He's been that way for weeks. That's all he thinks about, all he wants to talk about, all that he's obsessed with that, you understand. And, you know, some people get addicted to things. They like things. They just, all it consumes them. They want to do this. That's all they want to think about. Well, I'll tell you, this household had gotten addicted to something. And I'll tell you, what they got addicted to is something we all should be addicted to. They addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. This is what consumed their thinking. This is what consumed their attention and their time and their energy. It's all they thought about was how could they minister to the saints. And I'll tell you, people like them are rare in this world in which we live, because it seems like everyone, we're born into this world with this obsession of ourself, self-centered view of life. And we have things like Facebook that are no friend to that. So it makes you want to take selfies and want do an opinion poll. Ask questions about me. Tell me about me. And then you have these even at our schools, our children would come home and they have projects, and their projects were the title, All About Me. All About Me. That's the world in which we live in. It's all about me. I'll tell you, when it comes to you and I here in the house of God, Brother Joe has already read multiple scriptures to us this morning that Jesus came to this world and He didn't come into this world all about Him. He came into this world, and the Bible says in Acts 10:38, and He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He wasn't all about me. And He certainly deserves for it to be all about Him. But He came in the likeness of men and became a servant here in this life. If you want an example of how we are to live our life, you need to look no further than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is our leader. Follow His example. He went about ministering to the saints. And that's an interesting expression. Ministry of the saints. Who are we talking about here? Well, a saint. You know, some people have the idea that a saint is some special person that's performed a miracle and done all these list of things before they can become a saint. But what the Bible says about a saint is a saint is one who's been sanctified by God, set apart for a holy use. That's what sanctified means. A saint is set apart for that holy use. But turn with me to Romans chapter 1, and I want to notice with you that everyone in this congregation has been called to be a saint. Notice here in Romans chapter 1, he says in verse 7 that he's addressing this epistle to all that be at Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You have all, to all that be at Rome that are beloved of God, are and called to be saints. You know, sometimes we talk about, and I think we did last Sunday, the effectual call, holy calling, heavenly calling. That's something that happens when you're born again. But when it comes to what we call the gospel call, well, that's something that's a little different. The effectual call is from death to life. It is a powerful voice call from the Son of God. But here in the church, we have something we call the gospel call. And what that is as we sang this morning, hear the blessed Savior. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's the gospel call. Come unto me. Come unto me. Now, the gospel call is not like the effectual call, because the effectual call happens one time and that's it. The gospel call is a continuous thing. It's a continuous calling to God's people. Come unto me. Now, certainly in the sense of joining the church and taking His yoke upon you, that is a one-time thing. But when it comes to coming to the house of God to hear the gospel preached, that's a continuous thing, just like a mealtime. Now, I like when I hear someone say, okay, it's time to eat. Come to the table. I like that. I don't want that to be just one time now. I want that to be a continual thing that happens throughout the day. As often as you do it, I'll be happy. It doesn't matter how often. It doesn't just have to be three times a day. I'll be happy. But anyway, when it comes to the church, come. Come to the house of God. You are called in this way. And in that sense, when you're called in that way, you've been called to be saints. You've been called to live your life set apart from the world in a holy way. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he describes it this way. And I want you to notice in this way he describes it, 1 Corinthians 1, how similar it is to what we talked about in Matthew 11, being yoked together with Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says this in verse 9. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This calling, and calling to be saints, is a calling to the fellowship of Jesus Christ our Lord. Think about being yoked together with someone. How close would you be with that someone? Well, you're yoked together. You can't really get away from them, you understand? And just like a husband and a wife, and they're yoked together in the holy bonds of matrimony, they are close to one another. There's a fellowship there. There's a kinship there. Well, when you take Jesus' yoke upon you, Therefore, your life should be a very close fellowship to Jesus. We've been called to that way. When we're called to be saints, if we're saints, and that's the fellowship of Jesus Christ our Lord. And so therefore, whatever He was doing, we should do. However He was thinking, what He was saying, we should think and we should say like He did in following His example. And so they addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. The saints. In Galatians 6 verse 10, it says, as you have opportunity, do good unto all men, especially them of the household of faith. Now notice that. That text tells us as we have opportunity to do good to everybody. But especially, here's the priority, those who are the household of faith. And so if we are seeking something to do, you know, I recently heard someone proclaim that Christians have just gotten bored with God. You know, I think sometimes we really fail to recognize our dependence on God. You know, in this time of Thanksgiving, you know, if you go and study the pilgrims that came over here 400 years ago, 1620, they came and landed here in the wintertime. A lot of their people died on those ships coming out here. And they taught our children a song at school, and it says, hard was the winter, hard was the spring, but there is hope for the bounty summer might bring. And glad for the harvest come the fall, glad for their Thanksgiving. If you imagine living that year starting in December of 1620 all the way to November in 1621, it was a hard time. And don't you know they were thankful? Thankful to God for providing the bounty that they had labored all year for. Here in America today, we don't wonder where our next meal is coming from. And generally we're in good health, but we become bored with God. Boy, I tell you what, we don't need to get bored. There is something to do. We have something to do, and it's minister to God's saints. Why should we do that? Well, I want you to think about for a moment that God's saints, God's people, are closely connected to God. Turn me to Acts chapter 9, and I want to notice something with you in the language that Jesus states here in Acts chapter 9. You know, we're all familiar with what the Bible says in Matthew 25, when the Lord comes back again, and He tells His sheep on the right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He says, for when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was sick and in prison, you came unto me. And what did they say? Lord, when did we see you in this condition? And His response is, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And so therefore, He's taught us a principle that what we do to one, just one of the least of His brethren, maybe not some great important person, just one of His brethren, you've done it to Him. And so therefore, ministry to the saints is actually ministry to the Lord. Notice here in Acts chapter 9 what Jesus tells Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. When he was traveling there to persecute the church, and he saw a great light, fell to the earth. And verse 4 says, he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Verse 5, he said, who art thou, Lord? The Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now let's stop and think for a moment. Saul of Tarsus never did one thing physically to Jesus. He wasn't there when they crucified him. He wasn't there laying a hand on him. He didn't do anything to Jesus personally when Jesus walked on this line. But what he did do was persecute his bride. What he did do was persecute his church. And so if he's done it unto one of the least of these, his brethren, or if he's done it to his church, you've done it to him, you understand. There is a connection between God's people, his saints, his church, and him. He takes it personally what you do to his church and what you do to his people.
And so therefore, turn that around to the other side, to the positive. If you're ministering to God's people, you know who you're really ministering to? To God. If you addict yourself to the ministry of the saints, you are actually ministering to God. God's people are a very special group of people. You turn me to Hebrews chapter 11. You know, we were talking about during prayer requests, Sister Christine Alexander. She's been found to have stage 4 cancer. I believe in her lungs. And, you know, if you've been around Sister Christine lately, she can't hear really well. And she can't see very well. And I was talking to Sister Eudora last night about her. And she's not going to take any treatment. She's 88 years old. But her feeling towards it is, you know, I can't hear, I can't see. I'm not enjoying a great quality of life. I'd just soon go ahead and be in heaven. I'd just soon go ahead and this life end, and I can enter on a much better life. I'm going to tell you, people that have that kind of attitude about life, that they are, this world is not our home. I'm ready to finally go home. Notice what it says here in Hebrews chapter 11. It says, it talks about all these people and what they did through faith. They, in fact, if you start in verse 33, where he talks about through faith they subdued kingdoms, they wrought righteousness, they obtained promises, they stopped the mouths of lions, they quenched the violence of fire, they escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. Sounds like a difficult life, walking by faith and following the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, these people, the world is not worthy to have these people in the world. Now, the world is not worthy for God's saints to be here. They are such a special group of people. They are such a privileged group of people. They are, when you have people that will sacrifice their own life to serve the Lord and His people, I'm going to tell you, the world is not worthy of people like that. The world's not worthy to have people like that. But I'm going to tell you, what we ought to spend our time doing is ministering to people like that. Ministering to them. What does that mean, to minister to the saints? Minister. That word minister actually means serve. A minister of the gospel is a servant of the gospel. He's here to serve. And if you're going to minister to the saints, you are serving the saints. You're serving God's people. Say, well, all right, I'd like to do that. I don't want to be one of those Christians that's bored with God. I want something to do. Well, I'm going to tell you, we have so much to do that we don't even realize. I don't know why we would ever get bored, because we have so much to do. We say, what do we have to do? Well, let's think about what it would take to minister to God's people. What do the saints need? You know, sometimes I think about the old elderly folks in the nursing home. Sometimes they just kind of feel abandoned. I feel like no one pays them, especially now when they've been on lockdown with this virus, that they just feel like no one cares about them, whether they exist or not. Well, I was watching on the news this little girl who decided she was going to go into a nursing home. And she said she would go to every resident's room and ask them for 3 wishes that they'd like to have. And she kind of expected it to be things that were beyond her ability to help them with. But what she found out was what they were really wishing for was nothing great and outlandish. It was things like, I just like a slice of apple pie. I like a Dr. Pepper. It was things like that. And so she started dedicating her time and going around and solving their 3 wishes, bringing them the apple pie, bringing them a Dr. Pepper, bringing them these things. And although that may not seem like some great thing to those people, it was a big thing. Someone actually took the time and cared about what they wanted, what they desired, and brought it to them. You think about ministering to the saints. Every saint's different in what their preferences are and what their needs are, but there are some things we have in common. And one thing we have in common is what Jesus went about doing. He went about doing good, as we said, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. But He also went about preaching the gospel. What do the saints need? Oh, they need good news from a far country, because that's cold waters to their thirsty soul. They need the gospel. And some of our saints just simply want to hear the gospel preached. Well, bring them a recording if they can't come. If they can come but they can't drive, well, let's go and pick them up. You think about the ways that we can minister to God's people, that's what they stand in need of. You know, preaching, you know, as I was talking to Sister Eudora, those of you who don't know, she talks to Sister Christine every night. And she'll read the Bible to Sister Christine. And then they'll talk about it. They study the Bible together over the phone. And then they pray. They pray together. They pray the Lord's Prayer together. And they spend that time. And I know that means the world to Sister Christine. And Sister Eudora said it means the world to her too. Just something so simple. And yet, it means so much. How do we minister to God's saints? Well, the Bible says in James chapter 1, it's a very, very important verse. He says here in verse 27, the last verse of James chapter 1, pure religion. That's the kind of religion I want to have. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. You want to have pure religion? Then this is it. Go and visit the fatherless. You know, it doesn't say orphans there. I feel like in our country we have a lot of fatherless children. We have children that may have a mother and she may be working two jobs to make ends meet, but they don't have a father. They don't have a fatherly influence in their life. These children need a fatherly influence. Visit them in their affliction. Notice that that expression means the affliction of the fatherless is different from the affliction of the widow. The fatherless children need that father figure to guide them and to teach them and to lead them along life's journey. And that takes a lot of time and effort if you're going to be that father figure in their life. The widows, they, you know, it's so hard to lose someone that you've been a companion with for many years. How do you help someone in that condition? Well, I'll tell you, the main problem they have is just loneliness. Not having someone to talk to, not having someone to visit with them. And widows, just something that come by and change out a light bulb that burned out. You know, it's a small things that mean so much. Addicting yourself to the ministry of the saints. You may say, well, I just really can't do much for people, especially with this virus going on. Well, what you can do is pray. After all, there are so many things that we can't do, but God is able to do. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. We can pray. We can minister in that way, even in prayer. If we go back to our text here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, I want you to notice something he says here in the other verses that we read. They addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, verse 16. He says that you submit your... Well, let's cut out the parenthetical expression and go back to verse 15. He says, I beseech you, brethren, now verse 16, that you submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. Now notice he says, submit yourselves. That word submit is not popular in the world in which we live. No one likes the idea of putting yourself underneath in a subservient or a submissive way to someone else and what they want. No one likes that idea these days. And the problem is, if we're all focused on me, that's not really a very fulfilling life. You will never satisfy me. But if we're focused on, as he says in Philippians 2 verse 3, esteeming one another as better than ourselves, and that we are willing to submit ourselves to one another, submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. You know what we really need in God's vineyard is laborers. We need people willing to live and labor here in God's vineyard. They're willing to come and help and labor. I just read recently Matthew chapter 9, and Jesus says, pray ye to the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. The Lord of the harvest, the God whom we serve, he can send us laborers. That's what we need. We need laborers who are willing to addict themselves to the ministry of the saints, to the service of God. Verse 17, I am glad. Now, I don't know exactly Paul's situation here. He may be in prison or he may not. But he says, I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. Now, what were they lacking that these three men supplied? I don't believe he's talking about money there. Because Apostle Paul in the second book of 2 Corinthians talked about, I think money was tight in Corinth. You know, every church is in a different situation. I've been around some of our churches that are struggling financially. I've been around some of our churches that have more money than they know what to do with. And everyone in between. But the church at Corinth, I think, was struggling financially because the Apostle Paul said he wouldn't ask for any money from them. He wasn't going to ask for money. But, in fact, let me take you to a verse to show you what I mean here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He says in verse 14, he says, behold, the third time I'm ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you. For I seek not yours, but you, for the children, not to lay it for the parents, but the parents for the children. Notice, Paul says, I seek not yours. I'm not wanting what you have. That's what a thief wants. I'm not seeking yours, he says, but I'm seeking you. And I'll tell you, the Apostle Paul, when he's talking about back here in 1 Corinthians 16, he says, that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. What that was lacking was he wasn't with them. I'll tell you, it's tough when you're not with the Lord's people. But just think about the Apostle Paul's perspective when these three brethren from the church come and visit with him. He said, just having their presence, notice verse 18, has refreshed him. He says, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. He says, they've refreshed my spirit. You know, it's a great blessing to go and visit. Go and visit God's people. Go and visit the preacher. You know, one of the qualifications of a preacher in 1 Timothy 3 is he's to be given to hospitality. Now, you'll never know if I have met that qualification if you don't come see me. If you don't come see me, you won't know if I'm given to hospitality or not. Apostle Paul received these men, and when they came, they refreshed his spirit. I'll tell you, there's nothing like spending some time with God's people who love God's Word and who love the Lord and who love to do what the Lord would have them to do. They refreshed my spirit, he says, and yours. They refresh the spirit of the church. They refresh the spirit of God's people. And the people in this world who the world's not worthy of, God's saints, they will refresh you when you get around them. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. You know, we ought to recognize these wonderful gifts that we have in the church. Don't take it for granted. Recognize them. Thank God for them. May the Lord help us to live our lives in this way and become addicted to the ministry of the saints. I'm going to leave you with a verse in Galatians chapter 4. As the Apostle Paul tells the Galatians, this is in verse 18. He says, but it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. He says it's good to always be zealously affected. We need zeal for the Lord's house, for the Lord's people, for the Lord Himself. It is good to be always zealously affected in a good thing. May the Lord help us to live our lives in that way. I thank you for your good attention this morning.